Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Quite honest, I don't know exactly what substance I was guilty of using.
Excellent job by Julio Rosell with the read right there. Joe Ostrowski here, broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, My Basement. We have power. I knew once we got through this afternoon, there was a quick second when the lights flashed. We're okay. I know there's some people that live near me that actually didn't have power for a while, but we've been in the clear here for all evening. Man, it was, what a day. What a day. Between the 70 to 100 mile an hour winds. I'm not joking. I did see one area, it registered at 85 mile an hour winds. You got that going on. I'm sitting here preparing for the show. It's an hour before. Oh, there's the president talking. Oh, they're ushering the president out. Because they're saying, I wasn't able to follow up because I've been on the air since. Saying someone was shot outside the White House. Jesus, what a crazy, crazy times. Joe Ochoa, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Now, Julio played a clip of A-Rod. And we get the Sox on Sunday Night Baseball for the first time in a number of years. I believe it was 7 years. And it's quite the experience when Alex Rodriguez is your analyst and numerous times throughout the game. I'm thinking, what exactly does he bring to the table? Next offseason, when you're talking about the premier broadcast for Major League Baseball, is it a good idea to have A-Rod? Now, I loved some of the in-studio stuff that I saw from him in recent years with Fox. But, oh, has he been a disaster. Just a big mess for Sunday Night Baseball. Julio, I'm going to let you introduce this. So we have six different clips, six that you wanted to share from A-Rod last night.
Yeah, here, a couple I found here. The wide
now, we definitely have the groundskeeper one, right?
Absolutely. Let's start, okay. Let's start with that first, because that obviously has been the hottest subject on White Sox Twitter over the last 24 hours.
How? Oh, sometimes I can't stand the fandom here. How is that hot? Okay, I'll get to it in a second. Let's listen to A-Rod in case you missed it last night.
Back to Leury Garcia. You can hear it. It's coming down so hard.
And the White Sox have one of the best ground screw guy in baseball, Roger Bozard. He's been there since 1983. And he is the best in the business.
Oh, they're dragging him in now. There's just no chance. You just can't pitch in this.
Roger Bozard.
Wait, did he say it twice or did you edit it that way?
The Roger Bozard?
Yeah.
No, I just, there's hot drop, so I just played it.
So you added it a second time at the end, is what I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay. I laughed at the time. I think some people laughed and then some people got angry. Step back for a second. Now, he's obviously given this information. Hey, you should mention the groundskeeper. Maybe the White Sox threw it out there. Maybe they didn't. But, oh, yeah, he's beloved in the city of Chicago. Okay, great. People were ripping him. This is the one thing I will defend him on. Now, I didn't hear all the clips that Julio has lined up. I want to go through those in just a second. I will defend A-Rod on this, and I will not back down. Roger Bossert, a peach of a man, according to all reports. Anyone that's talked to him, love the guy. Cool. If we're talking about a different team, and you don't know the player, what if we're talking about the Cub, the person? What if we don't, we're talking about the Cubs groundskeeper, who many of you don't know his name, top of your head. What if we're doing that? And it's not the Sox promoting Roger Bossert for years and years and years like they do. He mispronounced or didn't know the name of a groundskeeper. Now, he had other, he had bad information on other stuff. And it was funny, the Bozart thing, whatever he said. I wasn't sure if it was Bozard or Bozart. It was funny. And we laughed at him. But isn't it a little ridiculous to get upset with A-Rod if you were upset that he mispronounced or didn't know the name of a groundskeeper?
Roger Bozart.
It's on us. Seriously. It's on us. We have bobblehead days for groundskeepers. That's on us. That is strange. That is strange. Take a straw poll. Let's find out how many teams do that. How many teams in Major League Baseball have a bobblehead day for the groundskeeper? And if you're the Sox and you were mad that his name was wrong on the broadcast, well, I remember when the White Sox had a Roger Bossert bobblehead day and they had to cancel it because then his name was misspelled on the bobblehead. So you can't be that mad. I thought it was hilarious, but I will defend A-Rod on that. At the end of the day, he didn't know the name of a groundskeeper. Don't care. I couldn't possibly care less that he got the groundskeeper wrong. Oh, he's a terrible analyst. He didn't know the name of the groundskeeper of the White Sox. And he's not even there. Remember, he's in his studio in Bristol. So that did not bother me. Julio, will you agree with me on this? Will you agree with me that you're cool with A-Rod mispronouncing or not knowing the name of the groundskeeper?
Yeah, it's a good chuckle. I mean, come on. Do you think Tampa Bay Rays fans care about their groundskeeper or any team in Major League Baseball?
It is so weird. It is so weird that we all know his name.
The White Sox, throughout their history, have been known for their characters, right? And people loving an X character. I never understood the infatuation for Roger Bossert, but, you know.
He's good at his job.
He's very good at his job.
Very good.
He's making a lot
of money. So are other groundskeepers.
And how many groundskeepers have their family members drafted by the organization they work for, which happened for Roger's family a couple years ago?
Yeah, Reinsdorf organizations are run a little bit differently. And if you're in the family, it's great. It is more of a family atmosphere there. I don't think anyone would possibly deny that. You can't. You can't. You have the evidence. But while it was funny, I can't kill him for that. I'll just laugh at him for that. Because he is such a goofball. Such a goofball. All right, producer Julio Rosell, what else do we have from last night?
You know, I agree with you, Joe, in terms of A-Rod as an analyst in the studio for Fox was outstanding, especially with that crew, with Frank Thomas aboard. But on TV, as a part of the commentary crew, it always seems like he wants people to like him so much. He wants people to, he's just trying too hard. And with this Francisco Lindor comment from last night, it's a prime example of that.
2-2 to Lindor. Apparently, there's still some of Puig's hair dye left in the clubhouse for the Indians because Lindor's still rocking a little bit of the blue that Puig went with last year.
You gotta love this guy. He's struggling, but he is one of the best players on the planet. I call him a six-tool player: the five tools and the smile, the big Magic Johnson smile.
He don't call him that. Made that up right then and there. It's like, hey Maddie, you know what I call him? I call him a six-tool player because of that smile. He does not call him that. All right, A-Rod. This guy is weird, man. Okay, what else? What else do we have?
All right, the last one is a little lengthy one here from the system. It's Luis Robert and the fairy tale story of him from Guantanamo Bay.
The sure. legend of Luis Robert. And it started after he signed his professional contract to get into the White Sox system. And White Sox personnel put their eyes on him for the first time. All the reports that came back to Rick Hahn and company were pure athlete, too good to be believed, going to be the next great thing. And then all the anecdotal things started coming. You know, I saw him outrun a school bus. And, you know, some of the fish tales started to be told.
You know, something, Matty, that does not get enough credit in Robert from Guantanamo, Cuba. Having a guy like Rick Renteria on the bench, it's conducive to their development. Talking Spanglish, talks English to the American guys, but having someone with your native language, it's very important and a great move for the White Sox having Renteria. Help coach and mentor these young guys.
I get the Ron Burgundy feel from A-Rod.
Yeah, I hear you. It just sounds like he does some homework to get some backstories out there to share with the massive national audience, but then he doesn't get all his facts straight. He needs to work a little bit more on that, a little bit more. And I think, I'm guessing that we have this coming up, Julio, on Rick Hahn and Ken Williams. And I know some people were upset about that. I do want to respond. I might be backing A-Rod a little more than I expected.
The commitment the White Sox have made to this year and beyond, I mean, this short-term window, they're done hearing about let's build and get good, right? We're building up something good here. It's supposed to be good now.
And give Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn a lot of credit for putting the combination of young international players and these free agent signings, but quality people is the people that Kenny Williams has historically always tried to get to that White Sox clubhouse.
And they wrote some big checks this winter, not with the idea that they'd, you know, catch up to the Twins in 2023. A lot of free agent signings to go out and make the trade for Nomar Mazara, but Edwin Encarnacion on a one-year deal, they write a big check for Grandal, same for Keuchel. Shore up the pitching end with Gio Gonzalez coming back again to the south side, Steve Cishek.
And what I like about those six names right there is six baseball players, pitchers and baseball, that love the game of baseball, go out and compete, are tough, and can continue the Rick Renteria DNA that they have going in Chicago. They have a lot of good energy going and a very, very bright future for the White Sox.
Yes, they are six baseball players. Julio, is that the last one with any mention of Hahn and Kenny?
Yes.
So I want to respond then. I heard a lot of people were angry that A-Rod thinks Kenny Williams built this and he's still the guy that's in charge. Is he aware that Rick Hahn did the rebuild? Hold up a minute. First off, I have no issue with him giving Ken Williams credit because he's the one that won a championship. He was part of that. And who's Rick Hahn's boss? You think Rick Hahn is going rogue here? You think they aren't working together? He doesn't have to go to Kenny on anything? It's weird. It's kind of crazy to me, the people that want to give Hahn every ounce of credit. If they like the rebuild, you credit Hahn, and then you discredit Ken Williams for no reason. He's his boss. He's been involved with this. He's brought some of these people over, like Luis Robert. He's very involved in that. I don't get the pick a side between Hahn and Kenny Williams. I don't get that at all. Nobody does that on the north side. And maybe there's evidence in the past that they have different views on things, but come on. Kenny's his boss still. And he signs off on things that Rick Hahn does. That's just how it is. Julio, you think he was giving too much credit to Ken Williams or no?
This is, to me, a really non-debate. When you think of the Cubs front office, it's always that triangle, right? Theo, Jed, and Jason McLeod. All three,
well, not anymore.
Well, all three had their integral roles, right? I feel the same with the White Sox. Kenny Williams has his individual role. Obviously, it's not making horrific trades as he's done in the past, but he's also made great deals. I think he and Rick Hahn are a team, and for me, it's just the oddity again of Sox Twitter that the more I'm starting to find out about Sox Twitter, the more it's like these debates are useless, waste of time.
What I don't like about it is it feels like there's a portion of the fan base, anytime something positive happens, they credit Rick Hahn, and if something goes horribly wrong, they blame Ken Williams, which I don't get.
I don't understand either. I mean, Ken Williams historically has been one that has wanted to make those big deals. He's done them in the past.
Yeah. And he's not in that role anymore. Right.
And I think he and Rick Hahn, I think they have to have a good relationship. They have to have,
of course,
sort of a yin and a yang to where this rebuild, you've got to credit both. It can't just be, you can't just credit one and then blame Kenny Williams if this doesn't go well.
Sure. Do we have anything else from A-Rod last night's game?
That's about it.
Okay, good. Good stuff, Julio. Those are some good pulls. It's an entertaining listen or review, I guess. Just don't get too frustrated. Don't take it too seriously. Don't get upset about it. I didn't know the name of the groundskeeper. It's fine. We're talking about it, right? Are we talking about it if A-Rod doesn't fumble over everything last night? Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We expect to see the Cubs in action tomorrow. Finally, game since, Thursday? A little four-day break, a couple of weeks into the year. And Mike Clevinger will not be on the mound for the Indians. Adam Plutko is going to take the bump against John Lester because we find out today that Clevinger was out on the town with Zach Plesac. So the organization, and he flies back with the team. The organization found out today that he was out. Like, yeah, go to quarantine. Get out of here. We're disgusted with you. So they sent Plesac home on Sunday, and they sent Clevinger home today. Unfortunately, Clevinger has been hanging around with his teammates over the last couple of days, including in a team meeting when he was defending Plesac's actions. Wow. I'm going to see more stories like this moving forward. Coming up next, there was something involving Illinois sports betting. It wasn't an Illinois sports betting story, but it got me a little bothered. A lot of Illinois sports betting stories get me upset right now. But the amount of money coming into Indiana that should be staying here in Illinois, it will disgust you. That is next. You've got 670 The Score on the radio.com app.
Roger Bozart.
Start your day on The Score with Molly and Hall. Live at 5. For Chicago. From Chicago. They're live and local. Covering the Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks. Molly and Hall. Delivering the sports stories that matter to Chicago. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. No Cubs tonight. We've got Cubs baseball the rest of the week, though, a little bit earlier tomorrow. Let me check on that exact time. So we've got a 6:10 game. So that's going to be a 5:10 pregame right here on The Score. And Wednesday's game, Cubs at the Indians, that's going to be a 4:10 pregame, a 5:10 first pitch right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Taking a look at the Sox Tigers game, the Detroit Tigers just hit an inside the park homer. There was a fly ball, center field, Engels charging. He makes a head first dive for it. And he misses the ball and way to the wall. And the Tigers have it inside the park homer. They lead the White Sox 5-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning.
You know, I was thinking about what A-Rod said about Rick Renteria's DNA that the White Sox were trying to embody. And I figured it out, Joe. It's lack of defense.
1 minute ago, I saw Well, you cannot criticize Adam Engel and say lack of defense.
I know, I'm just
messing. That's the one thing he does well.
Yeah, I know. He's a very good defender. But in most part, it's just mental errors by the White Sox have been the consistent part of Rick Renteria's tenure.
Obviously an error there in his move, his decision. But it was funny. A moment ago, he did have a great play. He threw a guy out at third base from center field.
He did,
right?
I know.
A minute ago. And then, yeah. And now he made a poor decision in that dive. And you have an inside the park homer. And it, see, you can't have this. You have what people are viewing as free wins against the Tigers and against the Royals a lot in the division. And then you've got Keuchel on the bump. And then you maybe lose this game. We got it. Oh, man. It's getting worse. Julio, people don't have TVs. You can't play drops reacting to what you're watching in the studio. This is radio. It's an audio medium.
I know, Joe. It's just frustrating watching. If this would have happened against Minnesota or Cleveland, okay, I'd accept that. But Detroit, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, no, and maybe it's one game if they lose. Maybe it's one. But you're also coming off losing 2 out of 3. And the Saturday game was frustrating because while Plesac was dealing again, it felt like it was a total give-up game. Like, they had no intention of winning that game. They just gave it to the Tribe. And then they lose 2 of 3, and you don't want to lose a series to this team. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. So this caught my attention earlier today. Checking out this press release about sports betting in Indiana and how it impacts you in Illinois. And I know we have some listeners in Indiana, but check this out. Indiana's retail and online sports books posted their best month since March. As the opening of baseball and the reopening of the NBA season sent betting activity soaring, according to playindiana.com. Even with just 8 days of major sports, sports bettors wagered $70.9 million in July, up 137.9% from the $29.8 million sportsbooks accepted in June, and sending the state's lifetime handle past $1 billion. $1 billion. They started in September of last year. For the most part, they didn't have much to offer as far as wagers in half of March, April, May, June, some of July. And they have taken $1 billion in bets. And yes, we are legal in Illinois. And we're finally starting to get a competitive market with more books opening. But I've railed against Governor Pritzker when it happened at the time, and I will continue to do so. Because he's telling you to wear a mask everywhere and be safe. And I don't have a problem with that. You should be. But he's also telling you that, it was the law, so I'm going to enforce it now in the middle of a pandemic. You must walk into a casino to register in person. Southern Illinois is worse than Chicago. Be careful in Southern Illinois. Oh, yeah, go register at sportsbooks opening in Southern Illinois. Make sure you do it in person in a casino, because that's the only way you can do it, because of a measure that I took recently. That's where I have the problem. So, and I talked to a lot of people that last football season, this past recent months, to this day, they are still crossing the border to place wagers in Indiana because those are the books they want to bet with. And they're going to continue to do so. Are they going to spend an entire day traveling 5 hours to Southern Illinois and then 5 more hours back just so they can sign up with DraftKings or FanDuel when they're eventually in that area? No, they're not. I'll take the 15-20 minute drive and I'll cross the border and continue to give my money to Indiana. $1 billion in bets. $1 billion. And Governor Pritzker decided, the guy that loves to talk about health and safety, and he should, that's his job, you need to walk into a casino. That's what you need to do if you want to have the right to bet with our state. He's handing tens of millions of dollars to Indiana. He's handing millions of dollars to illegal offshore websites. Good job. Good job, Governor. I'm sure I upset more people with that one, but that's the truth. And that's how I view it, and that's how I'm going to continue to cover this.
Well, Joe, look at this. If you look at Play Indiana's breakdown, the online handle alone at the two books in Northwest Indiana is about $56 million. That's online, so retail.
So that means people are crossing over into Northwest Indiana, placing their bets, then coming back home to Illinois, right?
Yep.
And I didn't take a look at the breakdown of all the casinos over there, all the sports books. The sports books that have the highest handle are the ones in Northwest Indiana, correct?
Correct. DraftKings and FanDuel lead the way, and then PointsBet, which is in Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
That's all the way near the Ohio border.
Correct.
Yeah. I understand that. There's also money coming from Ohio, like that Lawrenceburg PointsBet site that you just mentioned, and there's money coming in from Kentucky. But there's a reason that the books in Northwest Indiana are bringing in the most amount of money. It's because of Chicago money. It's Illinois money coming over, and that's not going to stop. And Governor Pritzker decided the best thing to do is, hey, middle of pandemic, let's go back to in-person registration. You must be in a casino if you want to sign up. So we need money in this state, and he's handing over millions to Indiana for no reason. That's my problem with what's happened. It makes no sense.
And again, it shows you the power of online betting to the marketplace. It's probably higher in New Jersey, higher in Pennsylvania. As you mentioned,
Julio, you know this, man. You know this. If Illinois did it right, if they did it right, they would make as much money, if not more, from sports betting than any other state in the country.
Yep.
But it was a terrible law, and this is where we sit. And they'll make some money. They will, because people love to bet here. But it's going to be nowhere near as much as they should have made for the state.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence that Indiana's top sports book in terms of handle are the Northwest Indiana book.
Exactly.
That's the majority of the Chicagoland player. They don't break it down in terms of the percentage of Indiana in terms of Illinois bettors, but what would you think that number is, Joe?
Oh, what's that?
In terms of the amount of money the handle is dedicated towards Illinois players.
Yeah, I would just be making a wild guess, but it's a lot. It's a lot. I've talked to people that use DraftKings in Indiana that live here, and they're like, no, I'm not going to go travel down to East St. Louis, spend an entire day, all that gas money, so I can register when I'm already registered in Indiana and it's a 10-minute trip for me. It's not going to happen. Good job by the lawmakers. Great job. That's why I'm upset about it. And we have major sports now, and you're going to continue to give more money to Indiana. They're doing it right, and we're doing it wrong.
I remember in the middle of the NBA season this winter at Ameristar, it was packed with different players doing first quarter, first half, full game, player props. It was madness. I can only imagine how big it was, how big it is online in terms of the amount of
money. Yeah. Yeah. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I held out my hope for the state. I was like, how could they possibly mess this up? And many of you were warning me, they're going to mess it up. It's Illinois. Illinois, they're going to mess it up, Joe. And you guys are right. We all know better. We've lived in this state for way too long. Turn on the news any day. Turn on the news anytime recently over the last few weeks. Take a look at what is happening in this state. Coming up next, my buddy James Mazzola is going to jump on. He is the biggest Colin Morikawa fan in the world. So he has to be on cloud nine right now. I want to talk to him about the PGA Championship, and maybe he's got a pick for us because he's the best golf bettor that I know. He's one of them. He's right there with my guy, Barry Rosner. So we'll talk to James Mazzola next on 670 The Score, the radio.com app.
The PGA is back. Golf fans, the Score has PGA Tour updates. PGA Tour updates on 670 The Score are brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Little tap in, Nick. 64, final round. And a California kid is the new star in the game of golf.
I love that.
Oh, what a beautiful night. Yeah, night. We got primetime golf. More of that, please. Sign me up every time. It doesn't help when you win a little green. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Quickly want to respond to a texter because I think it's important based off my last rant. I got the state of Illinois and the governor. Texter says, so we can open up an account with FanDuel or DraftKings in Indiana, make bets from Illinois now? No. That's part of the problem. You may have an account in Indiana, but if you want an account in Illinois, you have to travel about 5 hours from Chicago down to East St. Louis and register there. Part of my issue with the state. Yes. Anyways, let's talk about happier things. Like Colin Morikawa winning yesterday. And I mentioned the story earlier tonight. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I need some action here. I'm looking at this magnificent leaderboard. Thinking, I'm going to pick a guy. I'm going to go all the way in. Let's go. Because there's value everywhere. Even with the top guys. When you look at Brooks and how he was a favorite. He was even 5-1. DJ in that 5-1 range. I'm taking a look at Finau. Oh, it's Sunday. He's going to fade away. Who's my guy going to be? I'm watching the start of, as all these guys started, nobody's talking about the local kid, Colin Morikawa. And he has that nice start. And he's double digits. He's in second place. And he's 12-1 live. So I had to jump in. But I know I didn't have the ticket my guy James Mazzola had. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. If you're into golf, if you're into betting, follow James on Twitter at JMazJD. When he's on 16, James, I'm yelling, that's my son! That's my son, Colin Morikawa! Because I know that's what you say all the time about Colin Morikawa. That is your dude, and he's made you so much money this year.
He's been great, man. You know, it's funny because the big three, Wolf, Morikawa, and Hovland that came out last year, guns a-blazing, right? You had to pick one, and, you know, everyone was on Wolf because he won the NCAA, a bunch of tournaments. Everyone was on Hovland. He won the U.S. Amateur, hits it a mile. I just saw that iron swing, and I'm like, this is the guy that I'm going to back. This is going to be my guy of these three. And he's been the best, and it was a fun showing, and what a shot on 16. That was, I mean, I said on Twitter, I'll say it now, it's probably the best drive I've ever seen in a major.
I know you take him every week, but coming into this, coming into this week, did you think that people were sleeping on him since he's played that course so many times growing up?
You know, I thought the number was actually pretty good. I mean, you're looking at 33 for a guy who is never – he's his first major, right? I mean, he's never played a major before. I shouldn't say that. He played U.S. He turned pro right before the U.S. Open, but I don't count that, okay? And, you get a 33 on a young guy. He's basically a rookie on tour. He hasn't been on tour for a full year. I thought it was pretty correct. I actually thought it was a little bit short considering – but then again, you know, when you factor in the fact that he played at Cal, you know, TPC Harding is the, you know, public muni course in the Bay Area. So he played there a lot going through college, 4-year starter, obviously at Cal. So, I mean, it was a perfect spot for him because, you know, when you know the course and when you have that kind of iron play, extremely accurate off the tee, which was necessary because we saw that rough really hamper some guys. So, you know, it was a perfect fit, but honestly, I thought the number was pretty solid at 33. But you know, sometimes you just gotta gamble a little bit on your guys.
What was most striking with his performance to me yesterday? Yeah, you're right about his hit on 16. That was huge. That eagle, just ice water in the veins, man. But like I mentioned right before I brought you in, when you look at that leaderboard. And look at the guys that he stared down for a major at 23 years old. I mean, that's as impressive as it gets.
I mean, it's super impressive, no doubt about it. And, you know, going the first tournament back from, you know, from the suspension. He lost in a playoff. He had a five-footer to win that tournament. He obviously, you know, he did grab another W a little bit after. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy who was a five-footer away from three wins in 10 weeks, including a major. So he obviously deserved to be there. I think the lack of fans probably helped him, to be honest, just because that extra bit of pressure that you will have when everyone's staring at you and you're a young kid and you're in the driver's seat, so to speak, and you have to hit those shots. I think it definitely helped. And you saw a guy like Paul Casey play well, normally does not play well down the stretch. So, you know, those kind of guys who have a tendency to let the nerves get to them a little bit, lack of fans helped, but ultimately you can't take anything away from his performance. I mean, he hit some absolutely clutch shots. I mean, he won it. He didn't back into it. He took it by the bull by the horns. Super exciting stuff.
Yeah, no question. Good point about the fans too. Something I didn't even consider. So he had to feel just completely at home, like just how he was growing up there. I get pushback on this because we saw Tiger win the Masters last year. We've seen Molinari win a major recently, but we're watching this every week. I mean, you're on top of it much more than I am, but I'm a golf guy. I watch every single weekend. It is such a young man's sport, and it's been like this for years now. Do you ever remember it being like this, where every week you could be fresh off Corn Ferry, 22, 23, it doesn't matter. These guys are a threat, and they aren't scared of anybody.
No, it's honestly, God, truth, it's funny you mentioned the guy. It's because of Tiger Woods. I mean, can we just say that right now? Like, we're getting to the point where now he's had a full generation of guys who either grew up watching him, their dad grew up watching him now, you know, and so you're at a point where golf was cool to these kids growing up. So you get better athletes playing the game, and Tiger made that happen. There's no doubt about that. So when they come in, they're going through the junior golf process is wild, man. Like, these guys are going, like, during the summers, it's every single freaking weekend. Like, they're playing a major golf tournament with guys around the entire country. They're super elite golfers. They're built for this stuff. They go to the NCAA. I mean, they're playing super high pressure matches, you know, for wins, and they know they're going to see these guys on the PGA Tour in a couple of years. So it's a whole different ballgame. These guys are way ready right out of, you know, I mean, typically, I mean, out of high school, I'm surprised we haven't seen guys jump, but especially out of college, because they're setting them up with, you know, supreme fields, even at the college level. So to me, it's not surprising, because you can say what you want about Tiger. He didn't play terrible, made the cut. Obviously, you know, not the performance he was looking for, but at the same time, it's all because of him. These guys' dads were rooting for Tiger. So, you know, it's not super surprising, because, you know, you got those guys growing up, and now you have a full generation.
Joe Ostrowski with guest James Mazzoli is one of the best golf bettors that I know of. Just this golf season, he's had thousands and thousands of followers. So people are aware of what you've been doing. You know, as I just sat through the Cubs not playing. They haven't played since Thursday because of the Cardinals. They've had 15 postponements and 5 games. We hear college football, Big Ten, maybe they're going to cancel fall sports. I know by you, the conversation has been that the Pac-12 might be going the same way. I don't really see any way a college football season happens. NBA and NHL looks good so far, but we'll see. We're not sure they're going to crown a champion in baseball. But I was reflecting on it earlier in the show, James. We had some scares early on in the golf season. Since the return, there were some positive tests, but we haven't heard anything over the last month or so. And I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to get to the Masters in November, and they're going to finish out this season.
You know, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, it's definitely a testament to these guys, because, you know, I don't think people understand. I mean, I've had these conversations, you know, obviously on Twitter, which is nowhere to have a sane conversation, but we have them anyways, right? But, you know, I don't think people understand how many people are involved in putting these golf tournaments on a weekly basis, right? So first and foremost, you have a field of 150 guys. Then you have their caddies. Half the field has a chef, a trainer, and a swing coach, right? I mean, you're multiplying this stuff out, and you're looking at, you know, to put a production on, like a PGA Tour event, thousands of people are involved. To think that there hasn't been a huge outbreak, and again, I understand while they're competing, you know, the game definitely, you know, it lends itself well to social distancing, but at the same time, they're in hotels, they're on planes together, they're eating together. They've done a really good job at simply following the guidelines and making sure they take care of the sport. Super happy about it. I'm confident we're going to have it all the way through the Masters. Can we get fans at the Masters? I don't know about that, but either way, if we see Augusta in the fall, I'm super excited.
Yeah, there won't be. We're still we expect to have U.S. Open, like you mentioned, the Masters. As far as majors go moving forward, do you have anybody circled that you're taking a look at, or you already bet?
Oh, you know what? These markets are just now drifting back open, right? Because they're going to shut them off for a PGA Championship and reassess the situation. I love what I saw at Cameron Champ this week. I thought, honest to God, truth, if I had to pick a guy to win yesterday, I thought it was going to be Cameron Champ. You're looking at a guy who has two wins already on tour, hits it a mile. He hits it with Bryson, right? And everyone talks about Bryson. Champ's been there. And then I'm looking at Matthew Wolf, the same guy, kind of a bomber. And ultimately has that swag that, you know, he doesn't care on a Sunday. He's going to go out there and shoot 64, 65. And you know, he got into the clubhouse and had a chance. And those are great U.S. Open guys, because typically U.S. Open is going to lend itself to the bombers. It's going to play tough. Always helps to hit a long ways when it's playing tough. So those are two young guys that I think, you know, the game's in good hands. Those guys are going to win majors. You're looking at numbers anywhere from 100 to 125 on those guys. I would bet that immediately.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of – it feels like you throw the rules out, right, this year, because in the past a lot of times, well, one of the top 20 golfers in the world, they're going to win every major. Feels like maybe you forget about that this year.
I'm with you, man. I mean, there's too many variables this year, man. I'll tell you what, you do have to be playing well going in, but in the end, I think these young guys are ready to go. Like you said, they're more prepared than they've ever been.
James, I want to follow up what you just quickly mentioned about the Wyndham, and you like Champ this week. Strategy-wise, a lot of times when you see a younger golfer, just any golfer, grind in a major through all four days, people like to fade them the following week. You're saying not the case?
Well, you know, the Champ bet was more for a U.S. Open. Looking at him for those long bomber courses. Honestly, this week – This is actually probably going to apply to a lot of your Illinois, your Chicago listeners, considering the state of sports betting in your state. Mostly a lot of locals, I would assume, are the guys who are betting with you. And so you're looking at a situation here where this golf tournament has produced first-time winners more than almost any other golf tournament. So this is a crapshoot. Mm. If your local book is hanging like a field bet at like plus 300, just go ahead and take that and sit back, relax, and grab a couple guys. You know, I don't – no reason to go overboard here. My card is going to have a lot of guys 50 or higher. That's just what this course has produced. It's a ball strikers course, but at the same time, the field is not super strong. So, you're not going to get those guys who are just going to come out and run away with it. I'd look for a surprise winner to a certain extent this week. If you are wanting to populate a card, look 50 or better, and if your local is offering you anything 3-1 or better on a field bet, if you get like 30 guys up top, field at 3, bang that.
Okay, and you'll have all your picks out. You're very transparent. You tweet them out at JMazJD, and tell them about your podcast.
For sure. The Four Profit Podcast, anywhere podcasts are available. My buddy Hayden Brown and I, we're actually recording as soon as we hop off this thing. We're growing immensely. It's been an awesome run. And we just have fun, man. It's like, you know, it's like you and your buddy sitting there having a couple drinks and talking shit about golf. Like, that's pretty much how we go about it. So I would implore anyone to listen at JMazJD for all the content, all free content, by the way. So, you know, if you want to get to know the game or you just love it and you want to bet it, come on by. And the DMs are always open as well.
Man, I know you've got to get it out there for as many days as possible, but that is hard to pick outright winners and pick matchups on a Monday night.
It is hard, man, but you know, you gotta take stands. You gotta make it happen. You know, I wait till Tuesday to get my outrights out to a certain extent. Like, it's nice because the podcast that we do tonight, we'll just be going over them. I'm not making any bets, but you know, it is what it is. Content is king. So I'm out there throwing it out. Yeah. And, you know, if someone wants to hang out on top golf, I'm down.
All right, let's hit another one this week. Thanks, James.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Joe.
That's James Mazzola. Check out his work. I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this because he's coming on the show and he's a good dude. He gives out winners. He has had an unbelievable year. And Colin Morikawa is his guy. That's why I wanted to make sure we have him on. And if you don't bet golf, you should. It's really, really fun when you've got someone going on Sunday. It's really fun. And now I'm really starting to think about it. He said every year, Wyndham, long shots. It's Take a look. You can bet a little and win a lot when it sets up like that. Coming up next on Sports Radio 670, The Score, it is Score Rewind Hour. Some of the best stuff throughout the day you may have missed. Some bad news for you White Sox fans. The White Sox just lost at the Tigers with Keuchel on the bump, 5-1. Keuchel, it appeared that he did his job. There was an inside the park homer at one point. Keuchel did his job, but the offense did not show up. It looked like there were a bunch of injuries. At one point, Jose Abreu left the game. We'll see if we get any information in the postgame, and we will share it with you. Score Rewind is next. Joe Osho, 670 The Score, the radio.com app.